And we're going to be looking a little bit at botany tonight and a little bit of architecture tonight and how they merge. And I was thinking of naming the sermon Walking Trees. But then I realized trees don't walk unless you remember the Lord of the Rings where the big old trees were walking and kicking everything around. But that analogy didn't really work. So we're going to go straight from the passage. I've entitled the sermon, So Walk, because that's exactly the message that God wants us to learn tonight from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So out of respect for God's word, let's all stand and we will read Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, such foundational verses to our lives as Christians in 2019 America. Follow along as I, go ahead and read along with me. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it's not a long passage, and let's all start together. It says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how rich it is. Lord, thank you for the value of Christ. Thank you that when we sink our roots of faith deep in Christ, then we have stability in our lives. We have peace, we have satisfaction, and we are complete in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Two weeks ago when we looked at Colossians chapter 2, we looked at the first five verses. And to give a little bit of background, we won't take a lot of time in background, but verses 1 through 5 was basically loving counsel from a compassionate friend. As we learned, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church of Colossae. And he wrote them with love and with passion and with compassion and compulsion. And he's saying, I care about you, even though I have not met you. I've heard a lot about you. You have a good reputation. Let me compel you in certain areas. And the last three things that he compelled the church at Colossae, and really that's us Christians in 2019 can learn, they were these three things. Number one, we should have a confident assurance, an assured conviction of the value of Jesus Christ. The end of verse 2 says, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That is a long, fancy way of saying, please realize how valuable Christ is for you. Don't miss the foundational, rich, mysterious value that Christ is for your life. Then he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we learn from that statement, really the thought that Paul is trying to get across is this, Christ plus nothing equals everything. Wait a minute, that's a unique math equation. Christ plus nothing equals everything. And really when you look at this entire chapter 2, specifically chapter 2 verses 1 through 10, that is the thought. That is the theme. Christ plus nothing equals everything. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Second point, in verse 4, he says this, don't let people trick you into accepting that Christ is not enough. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you or trick you with enticing words. People are going to try to say Christ is not enough for your life. Christ is boring, or Christ is not enough, or you need more than Christ, or Christ is just lesser than God. There's a lot of cults and religions and things that go on today that try to say exactly that. And the Apostle Paul from God through the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't let anybody trick you that you need to add things to Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is completeness. Christ plus nothing equals everything. And then the last statement, verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, I mean, he's saying, I'm not with you. Maybe I haven't even met you. yet am I with you in spirit. He's saying, my attitude towards you, my love, my compassion for you, I'm there. Yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order. He's basically saying, I've heard the reputation that you have. Epaphras has sent this with me. And the end of verse 5, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Basically saying, how grounded, how settled, how stable you are in your faith. Your faith in Christ. Don't lose that, he's saying. And that is the context, the thought that we are going into verse 6 and 7 with. Faith in Christ. Steadfastness of your faith in Jesus Christ. The foundational thought, the foundational completeness, stability of your faith in Christ. So now, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. That's the stage. He says this, basically, if we were to summarize these two verses into one statement, it's this. Turn your faith into faithfulness. Turn your faith into faithfulness. Another way of saying that, kind of expanded on it, is let your once for all faith. When we, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, we'll look at it in a minute. It says, when we transfer our trust from ourselves, we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that is a once for all salvation that no man can take us out. We cannot lose our salvation. We are once for all saved. That's a once for all thing. But he's saying, let your once for all faith become your everyday faith. Don't just say, oh, I've got my fire insurance. I'm set for life. Now I can live however I want. He's saying, no, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, you're by faith, the steadfastness of your faith, so walk ye in him. Continue living by faith. The thought is just like your Christianity was received by faith in Christ, now live out your Christianity with a deep, established faith in Christ. And here's what that looks like. Verse 7 and on. So first of all, we're just going to look at two main points tonight. The first one is this. The walk of faith. And that's verse 6. Verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In the same way, so walk ye in him. Live in the same way. Live practically what you are positionally. That is a theme as we've seen all through the scripture, especially the New Testament epistles. The thought is you have a doctrinal position in Christ through faith by grace. And now, as a result of that, you live your life accordingly, a faithful trust and active obedience. What a lot of religions and a lot of people try to do is they back those all up. They make those backwards and they say, if you have active obedience and you're doing all these works, then you can have faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, in the New Testament in particular, over and over again says, no, faith in Jesus Christ results in active obedience, faithfulness. Not the other way around. So first of all, let's talk about this walk of faith. He's saying, in the same way that you received Christ, continue living out your Christianity with that same faith. Let me just reiterate the context here. The end of verse 5, in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, it leads right in, as ye therefore, just in the same way, as ye therefore, your faith in Christ, receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So this is talking about faith. So first of all, the walk of faith, your Christianity is received by faith. Faith alone. John 14:6, I'll go through some verses just to establish this thought. It's very foundational to our Christianity, but it's important to go over because it's in this passage. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How do we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. John 3:16, foundational verse of the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Christ Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace, God's grace to us, God's gift to us, are ye saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's not the working that makes us saved. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't brag that we attained salvation because we're so good, such good people. And then the thought, really, from what we're looking at, verse 10, you can continue the thought. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That same word again. Romans 10, 9 through 13 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the King, the authority of Jesus in your life, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Faith. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how are we saved? By faith. An illustration of this is it's a transfer of our trust. Instead of ourselves being in charge of our lives, we are yielding and submitting to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. He has saved us by his finished work on the cross. And we are saying, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I admit it. I admit that I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. You are the Savior. You are God. And by faith, I trust you. I'm transferring my trust, my authority from myself to you. You are the Lord. You are the authority. You are the King of my life. So any man deny himself, take up his cross and follow Christ. Follow him. That's faith. It's a transfer of trust. Here's an illustration of it. It's a surrender of your authority. Like a battle. When there's a battle or a war, military, what happens when one team surrenders, especially one side surrenders? In the Civil War, Revolutionary, the generals would meet and they would present the sword and they would say, I am submitting to your authority. In the same type way, we as individuals must come to Jesus Christ and say, I am submitting to your authority. But it doesn't end there. It's as if we are submitting to the authority because we find out that our side was wrong all along, and we are submitting to the authority, and he doesn't treat us as a prisoner of war. He treats us as a son and a brother, and he adopts us into his side, and we now have the benefits of being a citizen of heaven, the kingdom of God. And so the picture is so wonderful. Adoption, redemption, over and over again. How? By faith, by transferring our trust, by committing our lives to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I think of the illustration when I was talking to my father-in-law, Janae's father, dad. He was a military veteran on the front lines of the Gulf War back in the 90s. And he was talking about, he doesn't talk about it very much, but one time we were on a family vacation together. We sat down and one of my sons had a tank book. And my father-in-law was a tank commander on the front lines of some of the most important battles in the Gulf War, the early battles. And he didn't talk about it much, but finally the boys, he read the book, he talked about it, talked about one of the tanks he was in, and then he sat and he just talked for a long time, and I love to listen because I love history, and especially when it's your relative. And he was talking about in the tanks, as they advanced, the surrender of the Iraqis. He said they were surrendering in droves. Why? Because they knew they were on the wrong side, the losing side. And he said there was guys that they would be coming up with their tanks. And yes, the technology of our tanks and our military were so much more advanced than theirs. All we had to do was stay far enough away where we were out of their range and we could pick them off. And so they admitted that, and they were raising the white flag. And everybody, droves and droves of prisoners, were coming out waving white flags and coming out wanting to surrender to the Americans. Why? Because they understood they're overmatched, and now they have the freedom is not on the Iraqi side, it's on our side. He said one guy, he said it was kind of hilarious. They could see what was going on, and he was watching, and they were raising a white flag, and Americans were getting closer, and finally one guy out of the many Iraqi soldiers stood up and started shooting at him, And all the Iraqi soldiers started beating up on this guy. Why? Because they said, no, no, we want to surrender. We want to transfer our loyalties. And in many of the same ways, our faith in Jesus Christ is the same way. We are transferring our loyalties from ourselves to God, to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how do we do that? By faith. Received by faith. And then, second of all, that walk of faith is realized by faithfulness. Not only is it received by faith, it's realized by faithfulness. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. Walk to live, to conduct oneself, to deport yourself, to hold yourself a certain way. So walk ye in him, in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Like I said, it's a theme throughout scripture. I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll talk about it. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The more we know about God, the more we realize the value of Christ in our lives, the only response we're going to have is a life that's more faithful and active in obedience to Him. Why? Because we want to reflect well on the Creator and our Savior and our Lord. That's the reaction, not to gain brownie points with God, but as a reflection of our knowledge and our heart and our love for God, for Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 5 verse 7 says this. Well, really 6 through 8. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we're here on earth, we're not physically with God in heaven. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. As we live as citizens of earth, we understand that our true citizenship is in heaven. And that gives us a confidence. How? By faith. And it gives us a peace and it gives us a stability that no matter what's going on in this life, no matter how hard this life gets or how badly we're treated or whatever's going on, we have eternity in heaven. And we have a loving God, a faithful Creator, who loves us, has a plan for us, and wants and has promised our good and His glory for eternity. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The thought is, if you have a once for all transfer of trust, then you're also going to have a continuous idea of active obedience. Why? Because you have a loyalty to your new authority of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Live like you are. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or because of the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hear God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Instead of sacrificing lambs and bulls and doves and all those things, what do we present and what do we sacrifice now? Ourselves. Here, God. And be not conformed to this world. I mean, don't live for the here and now, feeding your flesh, doing whatever waves, floating with the waves of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Living a life that's dominated with a thinking of eternity rather than a thinking of the here and now, the feeding of the flesh. Colossians 3:1-4. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're truly saved, truly have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. You're dead to this world. And your life is hid with Christ and God. You're living for eternity. That's your new thinking, your new purpose. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So back to verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you receive Jesus by faith, Now live out your everyday life in that faithfulness. Faith in Christ is not just a one and done thing. Something you do to check off your list and never revisit again. Okay, I got my fire insurance. I'm good. Now let's live. It's a lifestyle. Yes, in one sense, salvation is done and secure when we call upon Jesus to forgive our sin, to cleanse us, to be our Lord and Savior. We are eternally secure in our salvation. We will never lose our salvation. However, when we truly transfer our trust to Jesus Christ and make Him our Lord and our Savior, then our lives are going to be impacted in a certain way. We now have Christ living in us, strengthening us and providing us peace and hope. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, guiding us and comforting us. When that is true, our lives are going to be marked by a faithful obedience, an active faith that is alive and real. All right, so we have a few in here that are construction workers. Imagine if I tried my hand at construction. I went to the job site with you this week, and there's a big wrecking ball, demolition, and all of a sudden I get hit by a big wrecking ball. And I came back next Sunday night, and I said, hey, all, I got hit by a wrecking ball this week. What are you going to say? No, you didn't. Why? You would be smashed. You'd be dead. You'd be in a body cast if you were still alive. Well, why is it that something as wonderful as salvation, there's so many Christians out there, some myself at times as well, where we say, Christ has changed my life completely. People are saying, He has? I can't tell. Our lives are a transformation when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's the point of this. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then show it by your faithfulness and active obedience in your life, your lifestyle, your decisions, your circumstances, your attitudes, your reactions, your life. Why? Because you have Christ strengthening you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have other brothers and sisters in Christ that are keeping you accountable and helping and encouraging you. So if you have faith in Christ, live like it. So application number one from this verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. My question for you, the first application is this. Have you received Jesus Christ by faith? Have you transferred your trust from yourself to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? Let me just say this. If you haven't, please make tonight that night. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He is, God. He died on the cross in your place for your sins. He was buried and that He rose again the third day, just like He said He would, to prove that He's God. And then choose to call upon Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. That's the first application. If you're not, make tonight that night. And then second of all, for those that have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, are we living like it? Have you thought of your faith as done? Okay, faith done. Don't need to do that anymore. We need to realize that faith in Christ does not stop at the moment of salvation, but continues in everyday life and circumstances throughout our lives. We are to live our lives by continuing in our faithfulness to Christ, making every decision every day that is based on Jesus Christ's headship and authority in our lives. Decisions that are based upon our love for Christ and our desire to follow His example. Take up His cross daily is what Jesus says in Luke 9. So first of all, the walk of faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, how? Second of all, we see the way of faith. How do we live out our faith in Christ? All right, we just saw we need to have faith in Christ, and then we need to live out our faith in Christ. Well, how? What's the way to do that? What does it look like? Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's where we get that walk like a tree. How? Live your life rooted and grounded. Any tree, any plant, any flower needs a couple basic things. It needs good soil, a good source, a good foundation, and it needs good sustenance. Sunlight, water, pollination, those type of things. The idea of this passage is that if we are going to grow in our spiritual lives, if we're going to thrive in our lives, we're going to have to found ourselves upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Christ must be the foundation of our everyday lives. He must dominate our thinking and our actions. So walk. There's four ways. He says in verse 7, so walk, number one, solidly founded in Christ. Sourced in Christ. He says, rooted in Him. Christ is our solid foundation, is the idea. This idea of a tree is all throughout Scripture, even in the Old Testament. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Basically, doesn't find his roots in the things that are wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. God's revelation. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And we could go on. Matthew 7, 24 through 29, the idea of being rooted and grounded in Christ. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat into that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why? Because it wasn't rooted. It wasn't founded upon a rock. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. Christ, authority. And not as the scribes. So first of all, if we want to walk in faith, what do we need to do? Found ourselves, sink our roots deep into faith in Christ. And then, not only are we rooted in Christ, but we're built up in Christ. You know that the way a tree works, obviously, is root system, a trunk system, and then you have the tree or the plant. And what's this saying? If you have solid roots and you have good nutrients, then you're going to have a stable life, a tree built up in Christ, rooted and built up in Him. So Christ is our sustaining nourishment. Once again, this theme is over and over again in Scripture. John 15, the true vine. Jesus is the vine. What does he say? That whole passage, he says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And Jesus says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, sourced in me, finds his sustenance in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So many times as Christians, we seek other things. Without finding our main source of sustenance, our main source of purpose, our main source of motivation in Christ. Again, John 4, this idea of sustaining nourishment that Christ is for our lives. John 4, living water. Jesus answered and said unto her, the woman at the well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the well water. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And then that discussion goes on. And what's the thought? Jesus Christ is the living water, the sustenance for our lives. John 6, this idea of nourishment again. Jesus is the living bread. So you have a root system that's rooted in Jesus Christ. He is giving the minerals. He's giving the water. He's giving the sustenance for our lives. When we sink our roots of faith deep in Jesus Christ, that's where we find our nourishment and sustaining power for life, our strength. Living bread, John 6:35, and really that whole chapter, but I'll just summarize it to this one verse. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So first of all, we have our walk must be sourced in Jesus Christ, in our faith, solidly founded in Christ. Second of all, as the verse says, rooted and built up in him, and what? Established in the faith. Isn't that kind of the same thing that was just said? Rooted and built up, and then established in the faith. Established in your faith. If we want to walk in faith and faithfulness and have an active obedience, we need to be established in our faith. Ephesians 4:13-15. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That means growing up, being built up unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Get out of here, kid. Knocked around in a crowd and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. People are out there to deceive people. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. How? Even Christ. So if we want to have stability in our lives and not be knocked around by philosophies or circumstances or people or relationships, what do we need to do? Sink our roots deep in a faith in Jesus Christ and grow up in him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's not saying I can throw a football over the mountains over there. It's saying, what can I do? It's saying I can handle any circumstance in life that life throws at me because I have the confidence that Christ is with me, loving me. He has a plan for this. I can have a confidence in Christ because he is strengthening me through these situations. Established in our faith. The illustration is this. Wind. Oppositions in life. It is our deep faith that is grounded in the solid belief, trust, and faith in Christ that will keep us standing and healthy. I know many of us spend a lot of time in the mountains. We enjoy the mountains. I love hiking. I love spending time in the mountains. But if you go in the mountains and you go up there in a big windstorm, what do you find? I remember one time I was out in the mountains and there was a terrible windstorm. And all of a sudden you heard all these trees crash and they call them widowmakers, and you're just making sure that you're kind of in a solid position because there's trees going down all over the place. And you go and you look at those trees and what's happening? Those roots, instead of growing deep into the ground, they were growing on top of a boulder. And so they come over, and what happens? Those roots are only about a foot deep, and they're about 10 feet wide. Why? They didn't sink their roots deep down. So when the winds came and knocked them over, it's true in our lives. If we don't sink our roots deep in faith in Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? We're going to be knocked around like a little kid. Like a tree with a foot deep roots. I remember the story somebody told me about their childhood home. It was in a small town in America, and the city there was a city square, and in the city square was this 100-year-old tree, this very old tree, and it was an oak tree. And a storm came through one day, and everybody thought it was a beautiful tree. Storm came over and knocked it down. Cracked it. Everybody in the town was terribly sad about it. Well, what they realized is that tree had been mostly dead for a lot of times. It had rotted from the inside. And when that tree blew over, they realized that tree was incredibly unhealthy. It was not established. It was not strong because it was rotten on the inside. Let me just say this. I think a lot of times we as Christians, we put on a good air about ourselves. And we think, man, I'm a pretty strong Christian. But we haven't spent the time learning and building and growing and praying and studying and yielding our lives to Jesus Christ. And so what happens? We rot from the inside. And so when hard times come, we fall. We fall by the wayside. And the point is, establish yourself in Christ. Faith in Christ. Without going into all the details, just over and over again, as I studied this passage, I've seen just how much this theme and this thought, rooted, established, built in Christ, is throughout the entire New Testament. Matthew 13, 1 through 23, we have the parable of the four soils. I'm not going to read all 23 of those verses, but the parable of the four soils, the end verse, verse 23, Jesus concludes it with this. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The importance of good, stable soil. And in this passage is the word of God. So the third way that we are so to walk, not only sourced or solidly grounded in Christ, not only established in our faith, but also, number three, so walk with a sure or confidence in the simplicity of Christ. Remember in the Gospels, Jesus said, you have to have faith like this little child. How did that little child, understand all the main doctrines and all the deep truths of Scripture? No. It was simply my life, a transfer of my trust. Here, you're my authority now. The simplicity of faith doesn't need to be complicated. The next part of the verse, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught. Don't think you have to constantly be adding stuff to Christianity is a thought. Think back to how you received Christ. The simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ. What is the simplicity of the gospel? Faith in Christ. Faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. As ye have been taught. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Continue in what you've been taught about the scriptures. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We don't need anything else besides the word of God and Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:6-9, Paul to the Galatians who are charting to add things to Jesus Christ says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God into another gospel, something that doesn't resemble the word of God and Jesus Christ's words, which is not another. It's not even gospel if you really think about it. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They're trying to mix other things with it. But though Paul says, even if I am telling you something that goes against the gospel, don't believe me. But though we or an angel from heaven, which kind of is interesting and ironic when the Mormons talk about an angel coming and bringing another gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So as ye have been taught, our faith in Christ, what is that? Here's what we can be confident in. Salvation and a relationship with God is found in this. Christ alone, by God's grace alone, through faith alone. The simplicity of the gospel. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, sure, confident in your faith. Here's a thought. When you have a solid footing and a sure confidence in what you have been taught from the scripture, Jesus Christ being the source, it doesn't matter what you face, because you will be able to stand strong in your faith. Let me just ask you this. How strong is our faith? How strong is your faith? Here's a sad fact. Many people abandon the faith. I think we all know Christians who have called themselves Christians and now have abandoned the faith. We can name many of them. Even people that have been here. Why? Because they were not rooted and built up and established in their faith as they'd been taught. I think of Job in the Old Testament. You think about his life. If you were in Job's situation, would you still have faith in God? Man, if you were to go through those situations, how would your faith be? I'm saying if we're going to go through some of those situations, we're going to need to be rooted and built up and established in our faith in Christ. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We are in spiritual warfare right now. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God. Gear up. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Standing, strong, established, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, solidly standing with the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Above all, take the shield of faith. Many people aren't rooted, built up, established, sure-footed. So what happens when a cult comes to the door, or they go off to college, or they're an adult facing a hard situation in their lives, or maybe someone lets them down, there's a Christian who treats them wrong, what happens? They abandon their faith. And what happens? It is almost like that tree that looked so good but was rotten on the inside. Well, what about you? How sure-footed are you in your faith in Christ? Think about it. What will it take to knock you down? Nothing if you are rooted deeply in your faith in Jesus Christ. Think about Job. Think about yourself. What's it going to take to knock you down in your faith? And last of all, the fourth way to so walk ye in Christ is by showing thankfulness constantly. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Growing, overabounding, overflowing in your walk, in your life, with a gratefulness, a gratitude, a thankful joyfulness is the idea. This is the obvious result of a healthy tree. What? Fruit. Thankful living. If we understand the significance and value of the treasure of Christ in us, how are we going to respond? Wow. Thank you, God. We need to be constantly reminding ourselves and those around us of the value and privilege of Christ. So here's a thought, an illustration. You think about this. Our life is one big thank you note to God. So think about, I don't know if you've ever written, hopefully we've all written thank you notes. Thank you notes are not something that necessarily is written a lot anymore. But when you write a thank you note, there's different ways you can do it. I remember a thank you note from this past year my family received, each one of us, well thought out. You could tell this person put a lot of time in it. They drew it, and they spent hours on it. And when I looked and read that thank you note, wow, I was like, wow, that person really cares about me. Wow, that strengthened my relationship with that person, and I was grateful, and I was, wow. But you know what? Sometimes we write thank you notes, and what do? Oh, I'm running out of time. I got to write a thank you note. Boom. Google. What's a thank you note? All right. Put it in. There you go. I think a lot of times our lives are like that. God, thank you. Man, I want to praise you because you're a holy, just God. But at the same time, you're a gracious, loving God. And I want to just take some time here to praise and thank you in prayer this morning. And I don't care what my schedule, I'm going to actually get up 20 minutes. I thank you. I extol you. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And you read through the Psalms and you're praising God and you're just, it's natural thank you note to God. And then you go out and you live your life as an expression to God saying, God, I'm yours, and in this situation, my attitude and my actions, I want to reflect well on you, and our lives are a thank you note to God. But other times, no way. God, here, thank you note. Sometimes we don't even thank God. We live our lives in rebellion, and we're saying, okay, I'm my to-do list, my spiritual to-do list, someday I'm going to write a thank you note to God. But today, forget it. I'm going to live by my flesh. I'm going to do what I want to do today. God, I know I have my fire insurance with you, but I'm going to live however I want to live today. And sadly, that's how we live our lives some days. We're in one of those three categories. God, thank you. Let me live my life as a reflection of my Creator and my Savior and my Lord. Or, thanks God, on with my day. Or, rebellion, God, someday I'll thank you. This does not need to be worked up. The point is this, live your life as a thank you note to God. It's a natural overflow of an accurate knowledge and foundation of the value and completeness of Christ. When we truly know what we have, we truly understand it, we're going to react accordingly. And our lives are going to be a life of thankfulness, of joy, of peace, of stability. Why? Because we're rooted and grounded in a faith in Jesus Christ. So what? We'll go through these quickly, but these are important for us to respond. Now what do we do with these verses? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in your faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So what? Applications for us as Christians. First of all, have you received Christ by faith? Are you living a life, and if you have received Christ by faith, if you haven't, let tonight be that night. But if you have, are you living a life of faithfulness then? Faith is not something that someone simply does at salvation. Faith is a way of life that someone lives in their everyday life. Let me say that again. Faith is not something that someone simply does at salvation. Faith is a way of life that someone lives in their everyday life. Next question, what is your solid foundation in life? What is it that you always turn to for solace, for your confidence, for your hope, for your strength? What is your root? Many people turn to other people or to substances drugs or alcohol, or maybe it's notoriety or power, or maybe it's just entertainment. Oh, I've had a rough day. Let me turn on the TV. Let me binge watch a show for hours on end. That's my solace tonight. Maybe music. Let me just listen to music on end and fill my life with this. YouTube for hours, okay? Internet, whatever. But we have the only lasting foundation, Christ. Let me just ask, this is a challenging question for me, but it should be for all of us. When was the last time that you reached for your Bible instead of your smartphone, computer, or your remote? That tells you how rooted you are in Christ. What is your source of your actions in life? What is your motivation? Why do you do what you do? What is your why in life? Our deep faith and love for Christ and a desire to advance Him and to glorify God, that should be the main motivation and purpose of all that we do. Living with eternal values as our forefront. Next question. Are you sure-footed in your faith in Christ? What's it going to take to knock you down? What's going to hinder your faith? We must find our strength in the fact that God loves us. He has a plan for us. He guides us and He strengthens us. That's our stability. So no matter what happens in our life, Christ is our foundation. And then last of all, so what? Are you a thankful person? Are you thankful? Are you grateful? Let me just say this. If not, if you're not thankful, why not? Rise above the circumstances of life and realize that we have been graced with unimaginable blessings from God. Live with that. And if we can't be a thankful, grateful people as Christians, maybe we won't truly understand our salvation. Supersede, rise above the circumstances of life and understand if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Live with eternity in mind, and that is our stability in this life. So now what? Well, what do we do because of these verses? Commit your life to Christ's authority and His sustaining power, and then submit your will to Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established Him. Commit your life right now to Christ's authority. Christ, you're my authority. I commit to having you as my foundation. You're the one that's sustaining me. And Lord, I'm submitting to your will in my life. When it comes time in a little bit to pray, I encourage you, pray these. Pray this verse. I'm giving myself as a living sacrifice to you. Next, now what? Ground yourself in Christ. Follow Christ's example. Spend time learning about Christ's life. Topics that we like to study. What should be the number one topic and hobby that we have in our study? Christ. His teachings. His example. The Gospels. This will take both loving desire, should be natural, but it also intentional effort to set aside time for studying through the New Testament. I encourage you, root yourself, ground yourself in the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then last, analyze your lifestyle. What is it that you are faithful to more than Christ? What are we faithful to more than Christ? Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus said, go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and then come follow me. He wasn't willing to be faithful. He was willing to be faithful to Christ, but only to a certain limit. What is it that's our limit in our faith to Christ? If Christ told you, hey, sell everything and go to the mission field in Cambodia, are you willing to do that? Well, that was New Testament time. That's not now. That's a different context. What if the Holy Spirit's telling you, hey, sell everything you have and be a missionary, or do this, or do that, or pursue this relationship because they need to hear the gospel? That person? No, God. I could never do that. What's your limit in your faith to God? What is it that you are faithful to more than Christ? What's coming between you and your faith in Christ? Then identify what is keeping you from your finding, from finding your foundation in, on Christ, and decide what needs to be adjusted in your lifestyle and your faithfulness. The bottom line of these two verses, I believe, is this. Let your faith in Christ be the foundation of your everyday living. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let your faith in Christ be the foundation of your everyday living. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the value of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would walk by faith, not by sight. That we would be rooted and grounded and settled, established in our faith, built up in Christ, realizing that if we try to live life sinking our roots into things that are not Christ, we're going to be blown away. In Jesus' name we pray.